SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, hour three, after a fun conversation with Andy and Sid Fernando, who really had a terrific Belmont week. And with clients in town and so many breeders and people that are involved in the industry from that end, just a very special atmosphere. And then it got even more special when Mr. Fipke's B Jersey wins the Metropolitan. And just like his sire, Jersey Town, a terrific result. And Sid foreshadowed it for everybody last week. His parting shot was B Jersey. That's all you said, Sid. Congratulations to you and Charlie.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. It was really satisfying because, of course, Mr. Fipke raced the sire, a homebred Jersey Town, as you pointed out, who won the Grade One Cigar Mile in New York, and to come back and win this race was really special for him on that particular day as well, because Justify won the Triple Crown. But the Metropolitan Mile, you know, on a personal level, Steve, it's a race I've been watching since I was a teenager. You know, when it was on Memorial Day, go to the track, and it was a special race for me because as a teen I used to watch Ford go in this race, you know, who was my number one horse, and to actually get into the winner's circle of the Metropolitan Mile was actually really special, fortunately because of Mr. Fipke's success with this horse, I was able to do it. And I had a chance to see what it was like from the inside this time instead of being a fan on the outside. So that was really coming full circle, you know.
Absolutely. And I, you know, there are certain races when you get a chance to be a part of, even just as a friend of, and not, you know, not as an owner, not as a close business associate. I mean, I've certainly been lucky enough on a few fronts to be, you know, either with some people that won big races or invited in, and it's a thrill because these are the races you grew up watching and you know what they mean, and then they become targets for the kinds of clients that you have. Notably Charlie.
Exactly. Yeah, and the thing about Chuck is, you know, he's a rare guy in this business because it's great to actually contrast it with Justify. Justify is owned by a partnership of Windstar, of course, China Horse Club, Starlight, and Sol Cumin's entity, with SF Bloodstock being an owner of the breeding rights in that, as well as Windstar and China Horse Club. So there's a huge partnership, tons of people. It's great for the game, the way the business is gone with partnerships, and in this particular case, a partnership on steroids. I mean, there were 300 to 400 owners of that horse, I guess, there. You contrast that to then the lone owner breeder like Chuck, and, you know, it just shows you the range in the game. But particularly these days, for a guy like Chuck to thrive in this business is pretty special, because not only is he a lone owner breeder, but, you know, he bred and raised the sire as well. It's he's a guy that doesn't go to yearling sales and pay a lot of money for yearlings. He's got to race what he breeds, and in his particular case, he's adamant about, for the most part, breeding stock for the future. So he and as an adjunct, he breeds his own. He predominantly breeds his own stallions that he's bred. So, you know, he's archaic in this game. In that sense, he's modern in the sense that, like these partnership groups and these international entities, he will race in Europe, Australia. He's one of the few North American owners to be licensed to race in Japan. He'll breed the horses like Galileo in Europe and Deep Impact in Japan. But he pretty much is a throwback in terms of the way he does it versus, Windstar, as an example, with their partners. They'll go to Japan and buy horses. They did with Yoshida. They're very much into the international aspects of the game, buying in Australia as well. But, you know, it's a juxtaposition of two types of owners and breeders. And, obviously it's great for the game. But in Chuck's case, honestly, there aren't very many people like that lone owner breeder in the game anymore, and especially one that insists on breeding to his own stallions. And in this case, he was able to get Jersey Town's first G1 winner from his first crop. So that was quite a bit of a satisfaction for him as well.
And I hadn't even, that's a given the way Fipke utilizes those, the Perfect Soul and the the
Tale
various
Tale
of Akkadi. I mean, how many outside interested parties come their way? I mean, how sought out are those house stallions of his?
Well, they're not very commercial because Jersey Town started off at Darby Dan Farm. And, of course, his oldest crop is now only four, of which Bee Jersey is a part. But this year we had to move him to British Columbia because the support was just not there. And what's amazing is that so he's standing for $2,000 now at Rhodes End Farm in British Columbia. And Chuck is still sending mares, shipping them out from Kentucky, from his farm in Paris, Kentucky, to British Columbia to breed to Jersey Town. He still breeds to Perfect Soul. He still breeds to Tale of Akkadi. Of course, from Tale of Akkadi's first crop, you got Tale of Verve, who was second in the Preakness to American Pharaoh. In Canada, he's got Not Bourbon, his homebred Queen's Plate winner, who, by the way, was the son of his unraced Sadler's Wells stallion, Not Impossible, who he stood. Now, Not Impossible was a full brother to Perfect Soul, but he was unraced. Nevertheless, he took a chance and he stood the stallion in Canada, and he got a Queen's Plate winner from him, homebred. So, like I said, what he's doing at the scale he's doing and the success he's having, he plans his own maidens, is truly a remarkable figure on the North American turf, And he was fortunate this year, Steve, with his operations now. And I guess we've never talked about this, but he got the Broodmare of the Year award for Lemons Forever, the dam of Forever and Bridled, who won an Eclipse Award for him last year, as well as Unbridled Forever. So he's got a Broodmare of the Year award, too. And from what I understand, this September he's going to be honored by TOBA, the Thoroughbred Owners and Breeders Association, as the Breeder of the Year as well. So for, this Canadian geologist turned adventurer who hit it big with the diamond mines, and who's always had a passion for animals, particularly horses, since he was a young kid, breeding horses his own way, insisting on racing them, and then breeding to his own homebred stallions. It's really quite a story.
Very much. And success anticipated to continue. You know, he's the Lemons Forever Fountainhead, and there's so many amazing tangents within the Fipke operation. He spreads horses around too, and that's a positive quality. Let's turn, Sid, and dig into the result of Belmont, and we anticipated that this seemed to be the logical conclusion. Some thoughts about the race from you first, and then I want to incorporate my conversation with John Gunther from Monday as well, and the Gunther Broodmare Band, which really this is a we've said it a bunch of times leading in how it's a the apex of a career matching sires and dams.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll start it off by saying that to continue the conversation from Chuck to John Gunther, both Canadians, both have farms in Kentucky. Both were the breeders of the two biggest races that day. Justify, of course, were John and Gunther and his daughter Tanya Gunther, and whereas Fipke is a home breeder, John Gunther these days is a commercial breeder. Where Fipke will breed to his own stallions, John Gunther and daughter Tanya breed for the commercial market. Outstanding breeders, of course, breeders also of Vino Rosso, who was in the race fourth, and. Vino by Curlin, Justified by Scat Daddy. They know how to breed horses. What a crowning achievement to get Justify to win this race, and what a thrill! Just the historic significance of that to be a breeder of the Triple Crown winner is just tremendous. In terms of, I might have given you B Jersey, but totally struck out, Steve, with some of the horses underneath. I figured it would be Free Drop Billy who would run like Gronkowski did from the back. And that was a tremendous performance. We kind of expected that this was going to be the case. This horse, exceptional to be able to do, obviously, what he's done. It's been written about, talked about, but still, he's a fabulous physical specimen, 16'3", 1,200 pounds, chestnut, big, rangy horse with muscle to him, and just a big, imposing specimen, truly another historic performance by a Triple Crown winner in only 4 years, second one. He's going to be a huge stallion prospect, obviously. We've talked about that as a dirt son of Scat Daddy. Not much more to add to that.
There was an interesting question asked on Twitter either yesterday or Monday, maybe when Gunther was with us, and it regarded the undefeated portion and how much more, if any, he could add to his value. I mean, it doesn't seem like there's only a certain number of mares in two hemispheres that he can cover, and. Mm-hmm. In terms of the upward end of a stud fee, my guess is that I mean, because he's a son of Scat Daddy, he's going to command as high a fee as there is out there right now. I mean, not to mention the physical portion of the horse.
I mean, yeah, he's going to command at least $200,000, which was the initial fee that was set for American Pharaoh, the most expensive horse, of course, in North America right now is Tappet at $300,000. Below him, you have Warfront, and then you've got some $150,000 horses, Curlin. But this horse is obviously going to be extremely well subscribed. He's undefeated, as Seattle Slew was. I think what he's done is obviously remarkable, not racing at two. He's it's been reported, obviously, about the $60 million deal with Coolmore to stand the horse, from what I understand, with the bonus of a Triple Crown, from what I've heard. The deal, it brings it up to $77.5 million. Really, Steve, one of the toughest things about this that people might not realize is how do you race this horse with this much value with the insurance aspects to it. Typically, for a horse in training, a racehorse, as opposed to breeding stock, the insurance rate usually, is around 4.95% of value. So if you were to say 5% of value, and you're talking about a horse that's worth $60 million, that's $3 million just off $60 million, right?
Sure.
In premium you have to pay for that. And of course, it gets complicated with the ownership parts of it, too, because this horse is owned by the entities I told you, but only Windstar, China Horse Club, and SF Bloodstock actually own the breeding rights to the horse. Jack Wolf, Starlight Stable, and Salk Humans, Head of Plains Partners, don't own any of the breeding rights. Starlight and Head of Plains purchased the racing rights from SF Bloodstock for 1 year. So when they're trying to figure out the insurance among this partnership, Starlight and Head of Plains are going to have to cough up a lot of money for insurance without partaking in the end sale when and if that's finalized in September. They're not going to be taking part in the windfall. So it raises a lot of issues about the actual cost of how to keep this horse racing. I mean, that's one consideration. I'm sure this horse will run because Windstar owns 60% of them, so they'd have to pay the lion's share of the insurance, but that's an interesting issue anyway. The other part about being undefeated, Seattle Slew lost his first race back. Secretariat lost twice after the Triple Crown. American Pharaoh lost. It takes its toll. It wouldn't be surprising to see a loss if it were to happen. But I think if he's well-placed and if he's given some rest, there's a good chance. And if they do decide to race him and he has two more starts for the year culminating in a Breeders' Cup Classic, it's possible this horse could go down as an undefeated Triple Crown winner.
Well, those chapters yet to be written. For pedigree purposes, said, I got to bring up some of the interesting little tidbits. The further back you go, and you know, the series of mares that, as you move back from Stage Magic, and some of the people that were involved here, it's kind of interesting, because all you have to do is get back to the second dam, and Magical Illusion. You look at the names involved. I mean, Joe Allen had bought her and then campaigned her, and she was, she was a modest winner, won a couple of whatevers, and placed in the Coaching Club American Oaks.
Mm-hmm.
Back behind her, she was by Pulpit. You go to the Baltsky mare, Voodoo Lily, Farnsworth Farms, and
that's right.
There's one of those themes that we see, and you go back further, we've got Spendthrift, we've got Leslie Combs, we've got Brownell Combs, you got the family of Myrtlewood, Jet Pilot is shows up in here, the Derby winner for Tom Smith, and the further back you go on the tail female, you find for Zet all the way down at the bottom.
Yeah, it's, Myrtlewood, of course, comes from Frisette. That's not part of the tail female line, though, is it?
Yeah. I mean, Myrtlewood's a sister of one of the back dams. Frisure, right? Frisette's daughter, Frisure, Myrtlewood?
But I hadn't realized that. So does the actual tail female line go back to that line? Dam to dam to dam?
I'm pretty sure. If you go back to
Voodoo Lily, traces directly back to that dam.
Let me see again. I mean, I looked at this with John, and
that would be remarkable. I hadn't looked back that far.
Hold on, We didn't get a chance with John Gunther to to really, and really that's maybe a conversation for Tanya, because she does a lot of the.
She plans the mating, yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's take a look here.
Here we go. It's Jet Pilot's presence. That's where we diverged. It's Jet Pilot's dam, Black Wave, that goes back to Black Girl, Frisure, and Frisette.
Right.
And that's
right.
Myrtlewood's family.
Right, sure. Yeah, that would make sense. For a second, I thought you were just about to tell me some groundbreaking news.
No. just within the there's so many things that are intriguing about this. And one of the things, I don't know if you had a chance to hear the Gunther conversation, but John stressed that the colt has got a lot of the dam. When he looks at him, he sees a lot of Stage Magic. And he also noted that he's keeping the Will Take Charge, the half brother, and that he looks like Stage Magic. And it's got him thinking about Act Two.
That's interesting, because in a lot of ways, Will Take Charge is a big chestnut with white on him, like Justify is, a big, tall, stretchy, long horse, not with the musculature Justify has, but I can see what you're talking about, and I could just imagine the physique from what you're saying. So did he say, I'm meaning to go back and listen to that. I was too busy, I wasn't able to get to it, but is he retaining that one?
Feels like it. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. At this point, I would too.
when you sell a Vino Rosso and a Justify the same year, and of course, there's also the Euro, right? I mean, he's got
without parole,
without parole.
He just became a stakes winner. And, you know, all three of these were offered public auction. The Franco, they retained because he did not. I don't blame him. But, you know, I've been very impressed with the way they're breeding horses. The Tanya Gunther, obviously, is a very serious student of pedigrees. Of course, before she was involved, John was doing pretty well, too. But Tanya has taken the operation to an even higher level, which as a father, you got to be pleased with your daughter, you know, that she had the interest he's had and has done this. And of course, they're making it financially viable on that commercial level. One horse sold for $500, the other for $400 and change. You know, fantastic returns. And, you know, these are folks that aren't buying broodmares for millions, buying them for price ranges from $50,000 to $400,000. You know, you got to tip your cap to them. They're also breeding horses so well on pedigree, but the physical product, you know, Bob Baffert described, justify when he saw pictures of him as a yearling, as a, you know, as a halter horse, a show horse type of horse. And so these the Gunthers are not only breeding very, very harmonious pedigrees, but they're, as commercial breeders should, they're also breeding horses for that show ring, horses that show well physicals. And if you're a buyer, you know, you got to go look at the Glenwood consignment, the success they've been having, and know that you're getting well-planned matings with physically appealing specimens. Ironically, in Justify's case, he'd been failed by a couple of vets as a yearling, and you know, he'd had some, I think, stifle surgery for an OCD lesion. Yet, it just shows you, you know, how tough this game is for some buyers at the top end. You know, they are interested in the horse. The vet says no, they pass on him. Somebody else's vet says no, he's good to go. And these people, the Windsor Group, benefited.
No, it's... it's got a ways. This story's got a ways to go yet, and we'll watch and see what the next few chapters hold. I got to get a couple more things in, Sid. I had a whole host of conversation for you today. We'll talk about Quality Road and his huge weekend in a second. But I'm curious if you have a sense of what happens with Opportunity. He's up to 4.6 million in earnings, and he's versatile, he's hard hitting, he's durable. He was good as a young horse. He continues to be good. Is he going to get a chance somewhere, or is he?
Oh, he'll
going to
definitely get a chance somewhere. Yeah, he's done too much to get a chance. And by the way, that was also nostalgic and somewhat surreal for me to watch that race because, excuse me, the Brooklyn Mile and a Half, again, a race that Forgo used to win, another race I used to come to watch, but on a completely different day. To see the Met Mile and the Brooklyn on the same day was jarring because the Met Mile, the Suburban, and the Brooklyn were considered part of what was known then as the Handicap Triple Crown. It started off with the Met Mile at a mile, the Suburban at a mile and a quarter, and then the Brooklyn at a mile and a half. And for years, this Handicap Triple Crown was a big mainstay of the spring meet, you know,
sure,
in New York. This horse won it on the same day as B. Jersey did the Met Mile, which was, you know, the way things have come now with the stacking stakes, this festival. But getting back to your point on Opportunity, yeah, I mean, this horse will definitely find a spot. He'll definitely get go to stud. You know, Baffert has this knack for training the best horse of a sire. You know, he's, he did it with the elite horses like American Pharaoh is for Pioneer of the Nile, now Justifies for Scat Daddy. Opportunity is for his sire, just like Dortmund was for Big Brown, and Bayern was for Awfully Wild. You know, those horses kind of have odd sires on top, but yet they were able, Baffert was able to pick the right one for that horse. You know, Bayern is at stud at Hillendale, the sponsor of the segment. Dortmund is at in, is at stud in Maryland, and Opportunity will certainly find a spot somewhere, whether it's here or abroad. The Japanese have been buying, you know, some horses lately as well. Mind Your Biscuits, for example, if you noticed, ran in the Shaddai Silks. They purchased Dreyfong, yet another Baffert horse by the best runner for Gio Ponte. I think this horse will land somewhere, Steve.
It just seems, you know, just any given Saturday, just, you know, it's funny how, you know, you get one, you know, a big horse like this from a stallion who's just, you know, has been functional. You know, he's got to have a following. I mean, you don't campaign this long without gaining, you know, a certain level of loyalty and interest. And so an opportunity, yeah, to watch and see.
Yeah, and you don't make that much money without having a modicum of talent either. So, you know, that's the other thing. This horse has obviously shown talent. He's shown hardiness. He's shown, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if an outfit like Brad Kelly's Calumet wouldn't take a chance on a horse like that. You know,
there
he kind of fits their profile.
That's true.
Now that he's won at a mile and a half, especially.
Well, and, you know, he also had, you know, Tokyo City and the Jockey Club Gold Cup. I mean, they're really, as a mature horse, he, you know, he's got that going for him. I pulled up some stats when I looked through, you know, his entire career, other than the Dubai World Cup, I suppose, if you count that, the one last year, he never missed a paycheck. He'd never been worse than fifth, that came in his career debut. And yeah, he's been in the Super, other than that Dubai World Cup, he's been in every Super since his debut. I mean, it's unbelievable.
He's a pleasure for bettors as well as the owner.
Yeah, very much. Mm-hmm. Very much. And Sid, to fill out the heavy conversation, the big weekend, Quality Road. A crazy weekend.
Yeah,
four stake wins.
Yeah, and again, this weekend showed this great affinity with two grade one winners for Quality Road with mares by or by sons of deputy minister. Both the mile and a half winner and the champion 3-year-old Philly were bred the same way. There are three G1 winners now bred on this cross. One of them is a sprinter, City of Light. One is a 9-furlong horse. The other is now a 12-furlong horse. Showcases the great versatility of Quality Road. You know, he was a horse that started off big with his first crop, seemed to like lose some steam, and then came back. And you know, stud fee was listed at $70,000 this year, which is the highest it's been, but it was actually higher because you couldn't really get to the horse. And he's now yet another young stallion attaining, you know, kind of elite status in North America. He's just a fabulous representative for the Gone West line, keeping that line alive. And he does it in a different way than, say, Spitestown does as another representative of the Gone West line. Physically, this horse, Quality Road, is another, you know, a lot of these tall horses are turning out to be good stallions lately. He's had a spate of them, and he's another one. He must be 17 hands. He was a horse that was tall, didn't have a lot of body to him as a racehorse, but he's let that into a beautiful stallion. And, you know, it's another big name now for Wayne Zend, because this horse is very legitimate.
Yeah, and I think I think John Gunther said he's bringing stage magic to Quality Road.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah. And if I'm not mistaken, from the conversation the other day. Well, you, all of you listening, and of course with the breeding season over, but you got to start to plan ahead and work with Sid. Work Thoroughbred Consultants, 510-490-1111. And follow Sid.
Thank you.
Not at all, Sid. Follow Sid on Twitter, Sid Fernando, and look forward, Sid, next week. We'll turn our attention toward the second half and an amazing Triple Crown season. Absolutely seeing something that seems pretty implausible the way this horse just made it happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I look forward to meeting next week. We'll talk. I was going to take you out to dinner if I ran into you this week, but unfortunately I didn't. I contacted you that one day, but it was the day you had to leave early.
Well, it is so tough when it comes to, yeah. We'll do is we'll get you up at Saratoga. It's a little bit more leisurely an appropriate opportunity when I come back downstate, because this was great week, 10 days, but yeah. It is all hands on deck, to say the least. I appreciate it, Sid.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, you're doing a fine job.
Thank you. Thank you, buddy.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Okay, Steve, I'll talk to you later.
Thanks. Sid Fernando, folks. Let's take a break. Last of the morning, Seth Merrow. We'll get Seth's post-Triple Crown thoughts. We had him come striding into Belmont Park with a big smile on his face, and I'm sure he left with a big smile as well. Seth, to close out this full Wednesday of conversation, back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Internationally and from coast to coast on every circuit, Biomedical Research Labs provides superior equine supplements to more than half of the leading trainers. Isn't it about time you join the family? To learn more about how EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield can fit into your program, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-8255. 6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Porchbills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Porchbills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Porchbills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Porchbills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races, about 10 minutes. Are you ready to wrap up? Yeah, okay. It is Seth Merrow who came striding in, boldly striding into Belmont, and he only comes to Belmont to see Triple Crowns.
Two for two, baby. No, I got to take that back. Two for three. I was there for California Crown.
Oh, that's right. So, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. But two for three. Two for three is still pretty good. Still pretty good. People can still depend on me. And in fact, next time Windstar has one, I'll have to meet Elliot Walden out in the parking area because we were walking in Belmont Stakes morning. Mike Callahan, my OTV TV co-host for the weekend, and I, we had our big case of equipment and a couple of backpacks. And we were kind of trudging along. Car pulls up next to us and says, "You want to ride?" It's Elliot Walden. So we rode in from the parking lot with the owner of the Triple Crown winner later that day. And, if they have another one, I think we'll have to meet Elliot three blocks away to keep the lucky streak going there as well. But it was just a great weekend. It could, you know, when you get culminated by a Triple Crown, going back to American Pharoah, two or three years ago, just to be there to stand, for the race, I went down and stood out with the crowd. We were broadcasting from five floors up. But you stand there and like American Pharoah comes down the stretch. And similar to American Pharoah, there came a point where it was obvious pretty early in the stretch that this was going to happen and the place just erupts. Although they were going the entire way around, there were a couple of waves. So certainly when they came out of the gate, the crowd goes nuts. But then on the back stretch at one point, on the turn at one point, and then again in about the middle of the stretch where it became apparent folks were going to be able to say they were there to see a Triple Crown runner, the place just really went nuts. And it's always fun to get that kind of thing happen at a racetrack. It doesn't happen too often, a couple of Triple Crowns. And the other one for me that's notable is Rachel Alexandra and the Woodward. There was that kind of reaction up at Saratoga. But yeah, that was the exclamation point. And obviously a great three-year-old season, a great weekend of racing, but really a great day of racing. And that, as I thought about it, reflected later that day and over the past couple of days, I think overall bodes pretty well for Saratoga. I mean, we look at some of the nice winners that came out, and you have to assume the next start or one of the next starts will be up at Saratoga for more than a handful of these, like Monomoy Girl. I know Brad Cox is talking Coaching Club American Oaks next. And certainly you have to look at Raving Beauty in the Chad Barn. You have to think a start is likely up there. Still having fun. Wouldn't surprise me if Tim Keith found a spot up at Saratoga there. I think it's going to bode well for the Saratoga season.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Some final Triple Crown season thoughts and reflection too on, you know, everything that has come along, good and bad, with the win and with the way in which, you know, some horses may have careened through and around. Some thoughts?
Well, I'll toss out there, I'll give a little promo to people stop over at Equidaily, because I went out and pulled up Sunday morning front pages from around the country, and the Triple Crown win gets on the front page of the New York Times, the Washington Post, the LA Times, Chicago, Boston, Honolulu, Fairbanks, and Anchorage as well, and Boise, and Atlanta, Miami. So I pulled up a bunch of examples of front pages across the country, and just noted that, you know, there's maybe one, two, three other sporting events that could do that, get on the front page of newspapers around the country. Certainly the Super Bowl, and maybe, given the year and the circumstances, the World Series or the NBA Finals. But to see the Triple Crown winner do that was kind of nice and a little feather in the cap for horse racing. Triple Crown season overall, one of the notes, you know, with Gronkowski and Hoffberg running 2-3, I still think beyond Justify, who is clearly, you know, the top of the class by a wide margin, I think the rest of the class still has to define itself a little bit. And that's going to make the summer kind of fun, seeing where Justify goes next, and then where some of these other horses who are now kind of sitting, waiting to define themselves in the 2, 3, 4, 5 spots, let's say, in the three-year-old scene, where they go and how it plays out. You know, Jim Dandy, Haskell, Travers, Pennsylvania Derby, what we get there, and some of these horses can start to define themselves a little bit better, because really behind Justify, it was, you know, really kind of a dartboard throughout the Triple Crown season for the most part. You know, the preseason and then the Triple Crown season itself. Gronkowski's going to be fun to watch. I mean, he made a great run, great ride up the fence, and a great run. I just had no confidence in him whatsoever. And interviewed Chad the day before, I got the feeling Chad didn't have a whole lot of confidence necessarily, but got a great run and obviously proved that, you know, the dirt's not going to be an obstacle, and it'll be fun to see what they do with him. Hoffberg, I also, between Hoffberg and Tenfold, I thought they were very similar, and so I tilted a little more towards Tenfold, but it was a nice run by Hoffberg. But again, they're part of that class underneath Justify that it'll be interesting to see how they do and how things are defined through the rest of the summer. But as I say, the whole day was very nice. Bee Jersey and Mind Your Biscuits was probably the best race of the weekend. You can't take a thing away from Mind Your Biscuits. I was standing pretty much right at the finish line when that one won, and with a group of other people who all kind of shrugged our shoulders live, who won, and then the replay came up. We still didn't know. So so Bee Jersey ran a big race, but Mind Your Biscuits was just as impressive there. But Bee Jersey, given that what was on the resume so far, kind of stamped himself as a real player in that sprint division. Mentioned still having fun before, and I heard earlier on the show, fun story with Tim Keefe, and it'll be interesting to see what they do there. Opportunity, the thing about Opportunity for me was the price he paid, $9 and change. To me, he looked kind of logical in that race. I looked at the race two back at a mile and a half as maybe, you know, test run to see if this was going to be a good spot. They got through there, and then maybe a little bit of a dud last time, but boy, the $9 looked pretty good there. And then the two girls, the younger and the older Monomoy girl, and I heard Andy say it, I've been saying it for the last few days now, unless something really kooky happened, that had to kind of show up an eclipse for Monomoy girl. And again, you never know, there's 6 more months, but it would really be fluky if Monomoy Girl didn't have an eclipse sewed up, and Abel Tasman getting back on track. So she's now just a solid player. Not player, she's, you know, right at the top of the class of that older filly and mare division after a little bit of maybe of a question mark in the seasonal debut. But the way she was working going into this race seemed to indicate that you know, a bounce back, a rebound was likely. You said also Disco Partner, just fun. That horse is, again, one of those easy to root for, and just goes out and gives it his all every time, and particularly in this race. So, as I say, fun weekend that should bode well for a lot of these horses showing up, you know, a month and a half or so up in Saratoga.
Absolutely. I got a kick on Sunday, Seth. I should really put the picture out there. We had to stop. You know, Tina's car was at the train station, so we stopped in Rensselaer, and I had to get gas, and I put the nozzle in there, and I looked down, and it was a steward. So down on the nozzle, that advertising badge and medallion, Saratoga, buy your season pass. It was like, oh boy. Once we get to, I say it doesn't even take getting to Belmont for Saratoga to really become, you know, loom on the horizon. Start a Triple Crown for me is always the first harbinger. I always know that, okay, we're looking straight at it. So
yeah, it comes up fast once the Belmont comes, and I think the Naira people feel the same way. They put so much into Belmont Stakes, and then they can kind of shift their attention to Saratoga. Although this, you know, Belmont Derby is certainly going to be a great weekend.
Oh yeah,
as well, I don't want to take any
Stars and Stripes.
What's still going at Belmont? I'll also mention we hung around Sunday morning, went out to the barn because Justify and Baffert were on the Today Show, and Baffert came out, talked to the press, and then brought the horse out, and it was kind of fun and interesting, a big gathering of, obviously, press there and photographers. They had his little shot on the Today Show and then walked the horse around a little bit. But what was interesting, from what I have understood, this horse is no American Pharoah. He's not a
guy
who'll come up and pet and get it. But, man, he played the part on Sunday morning. Baffert walked him right over to the assembled photographers and press. Some people reached out, gave him a little pet on the nose, and so he kind of played the part, at least on Sunday morning. And it was fun to be over there and see that as well, see him looking really good the day after the big win.
Very much. Well, they'll parade him just as I don't. Like I said the other day, then he's not going to spend an hour and 20 minutes at Churchill out on Saturday night. But he will parade, and the details, they're figuring, once they have the draw today, they're going to figure out when the best time, because Baffert and Jimmy Barnes in the barn, they've got some horses to run, including Axeman, but once they figure out the exact timing, we'll get that announced. So people can look forward to that, and that was one of the most fun things among the Triple Crown season, that 2015, being at Churchill that night was really a perfect ending. It was magical, actually. So, Seth?
I always say, for me, one of the best times at the racetrack was the morning American Pharoah came out. That was nuts, that Friday morning. When 10 or 15,000 people showed up. There were three deep on
Saratoga.
The backstretch rail.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
Crazy.
Well, the racing today, Belmont later on, and it's a nice card. Delaware, Delta Downs, Evangeline, Finger Lakes, Indiana Grand, Louisiana Downs, Mountaineer, Prairie Meadows, Presque Isle, Thistledown, Assiniboia, and Woodbine. Plenty of action for you on this midweek Wednesday. And tomorrow, speaking of action, we'll come to you from Monmouth Park, where they will open the sports betting parlor at 10:30. And we'll talk to Dennis Drazen. We'll talk to maybe, I don't know, who knows, Ray Lesniak, Governor Murphy, who knows, whatever. It should be fun. Hope you'll join me. I'll head down to Oceanport in a little bit. Another fun recap morning. And we'll thank Pete Pornatal, Sid Fernando, Andy Serling, John White, Seth, and of course, Mike Smith. Good luck if you're playing today. HRRN later, 3 o'clock on SiriusXM. Replay 6 to 9, and I'll talk to you tomorrow morning from Monmouth. Thanks, everybody. Good luck today. Checking out the
latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.